And wife were sitting together in their living room one evening. At the end of a long week, the husband took out his newspaper to read while his wife began chatting about all that had happened to their family over the last several days. Over the next several minutes, she talked about how good it was to see their children spend time at their family farm and how much her grandchildren had grown. She talked about the places they went and how it brought back memories from years past. How their grandkids we'll get to share some of the same experiences that they had when they were children so long ago. After a brief pause, she looked over to her husband and asked him a simple question. What do you think, Eddie? There was no response. Eddie? She replied once more. Still nothing. Eddie! She yelled at her husband, and he looked up, terrified. What? He responded. Flustered, they looked at each other in the eye, and his wife asked, why do I feel like you aren't even listening to me? He looked at her and responded, that's an interesting way to start a conversation, don't you think? Yeah, I think we can all relate to this situation here mentioned in the introduction. How many times we've been caught off guard because we weren't paying the best attention to something. As a parent, listening seems to be one of the most challenging skills that we can teach our kids. Honestly, even as adults, we have a hard time with this. If you've ever been in a management position, you've likely felt the frustration with people not following directions or with people not following orders. Even as employees, we get discouraged when we feel that our leadership isn't listening to our own goals or our experiences, the concerns that we have. And I know I hear it from my kids all the time. They tell me, why don't you listen to me? And I feel like every one of us at some point in our life verbally speaks the words, am I talking to myself? Am I speaking to a wall? Why isn't anybody listening to me? You know, listening is a major theme in the Bible. Just after doing a simple word search, the word hear is used 1,167 times in the New King James Version. Seven times in the book of Revelations, we read, hear what the Spirit says to the churches. The word listen is also used about 147 times. For example, in James chapter 2 and verse 5, he begins saying, listen, my beloved brethren. There are several places in Scripture where this thought of listening is emphasized. The speaker wants to make sure that his audience is paying attention, is following along with what's being said. The dictionary defines the word listen as giving attention to something, as being obedient towards someone or something. For example, you know, listen to my mom. Maybe that's a true statement, maybe that's not. More than just observing a sound, but really it's giving regard and attention to what is happening around us. And listening isn't always done with our ears. While I'm sure we all understand the simplicity of truly listening, I think it's interesting that Jesus experienced similar issues in biblical times. Time and time again, Jesus used the phrase, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. It's kind of an odd phrase, but really he's trying to get them to understand, this is important, listen to what I have to say. In Mark chapter 4 and verses 23 to 25, Jesus tells his listeners, again, give attention to these things that I am saying. He wasn't just going around speaking because he liked to hear himself speak, but he had something valuable that they needed to listen to. And even then, at times, many refused to listen to him, and others were not willing to act on what they were about to hear. So this morning, I would like for us to spend a little bit of time evaluating ourselves as listeners. I'd like for us to try and understand why listening is an important skill for us as Christians, to master, especially in a biblical sense. The most basic of all human needs is the need to understand and be understood. And the best way to understand is to listen. A gentleman by the name of Ralph G. Nichols stated this, and you know, I think it's a very pertinent phrase, a very pertinent statement to make. We all feel the need to be understood. And likewise, if we don't understand something, we can be in big trouble. You know, our faith is based off of things that are not seen in Hebrews 11, verse 1, right? And it's not saying that we can't always see it, but like I said, sometimes we have to use more than just our eyes. We can grow that faith by listening with our ears, with our eyes, with our mind, with our understanding. You know, and as we look at this idea of being a good listener, we need to realize that listening is the basis of our faith. In Romans chapter 10:17, we're all very familiar with this passage where we understand that it's only through hearing that we can believe. It's only through hearing that our faith can really be established. And if you would, turn with me to Romans chapter 1, where we'll begin in Scripture this morning. And in Romans chapter 1, we're going to begin in verse 16, where Paul is writing, and he says, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, that is, it is written, the just shall live by faith. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness, because what may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse." And the scripture continues on, but in this section of scripture, we see that the gospel reveals to us God's righteousness. Right? We can understand what is good and what is right through scripture. Likewise, in that same passage, God's wrath is also revealed. These things are things that we can understand and things that we can hear. If we decide not to listen, then we're like those who suppress that truth in verse 18. And he goes on to say, you know, his invisible attributes are clearly seen. This kind of passage is something that I've always kind of gravitated towards. It's always interested me. You know, I did not see God create this earth. You know, I did not watch him during those first 6 days as he created something essentially out of nothing. But through his word, I can read and I can listen and I can hear about his plan from the beginning of time. And through his creation, I can see his hand and his power. And I can hear this world, in some sense, I can hear this world testify of the Creator who designed it. In Job chapter 12, there's an interesting passage here where, of course, we understand the challenges that Job experienced. And we understand how he was criticized by those around him. And here's one of his responses to those criticizing him. In verse 7, Job is talking and he responds. He says, "But now ask the beasts and they will teach you, and the birds of the air and they will tell you, or speak to the earth and the fish of the sea who will explain to you. Who among all these does not know that the hand of the Lord has done this, in whose hand is the life and the breath of all mankind?" You know, Job realized that the world itself declares this Creator, this one who made it. We can see the design in nature that really expresses that somebody put these things together and they weren't just created by circumstance. And so listening to these things, understanding and really observing these things can help us to build and establish a basis to our faith. So we understand that listening is a part of this. And so am I listening to God, or does a lack of time or a lack of concentration keep my faith from growing, keep me from understanding who it is that created us and made this world around us? As well, I'd like for us to understand that listening is essential to bearing healthy fruit. In Luke chapter 8, let's all turn there together if you would. In Luke chapter 8, we can see Jesus explaining one of his parables. And in Luke chapter 8, he's talking about this parable of the sower. And I think most of us are familiar with this specific parable, but so often we focus on the heart, which is a big aspect of what this passage is talking about. But there's also another element that applies to our lesson here this morning. In Luke chapter 8, and beginning in verse 11, we can see, now as Jesus is explaining, he says, "Now the parable is this, the seed is the word of God, and those by the wayside are the ones who hear. But then the devil comes and takes away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. The saved ones on the rock are those who, when they hear, receive the word with joy. But these have no root. They believe for a while, and in time of temptation they fall away. And the ones that fell among the thorns are those who, when they have heard, go out and are choked with the cares and riches and pleasures of life, and they bring no fruit to maturity. But the ones that fell on the good ground are those who, having heard the word with a noble and good heart, keep it and bear fruit with patience." So again, we understand that the heart is the big focus here in this passage that Jesus is explaining, in this parable that he's explaining. And I'm not a farmer, but I understand a few things about planting. Most of us can appreciate if we've ever grown, you know, a small patch of crops or anything like that. How you plant a seed is important to its success, right? How a seed is put into the ground is very important to whether or not it survives. You know, seed that is planted too shallow will dry up. It might get eaten by birds. It may blow away in the wind. Seed that is planted too deep into soil will suffocate, and it won't receive all the nutrients that it needs. But seed planted appropriately will sprout, it will root, and it will grow just as it was made to do so. And in regards to us bearing fruit, we need to tend that seed that is planted in our hearts, do we not? The more we hear and the more we grow closer to God, the more we can give that seed the word, the nutrients, and the things that it needs to grow and to flourish and for us to be fruitful. So we need to spend time listening to God so that we can bear good fruit. And as a part of bearing healthy fruit, we need to understand that Satan is trying to put in tares, right? We have examples of tares being grown within crops. We have examples in Scripture of trees that wither and fade away, and there's usually a cause to that. You know, from a physical sense, we understand that there are all kinds of diseases and pests and things like that which are trying to attack plants. And, you know, especially in my line of work, we see a lot of times this. You know, for example, out in the parking lot, we have what's called a bagworm. It's a little bug that likes to attack and eat up pieces of our plants out there. And you know, if it's not taken care of, if it's not identified, if it's not removed, it can kill a tree, it can kill a shrub, it can kill anything if it's not taken care of. And in Colossians chapter 3, we see some similarities in Scripture to understanding this concept of needing to take care of removing evil from our own lives and from our own fruits, if you will. Beginning in verse 5, he says, "Therefore put to death your members which are on the earth, fornication and uncleanness, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience, in which you yourselves once walked when you lived in them. But now you yourselves are to put off all these, anger and wrath and malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man who is renewed in knowledge, according to the image of him who created him." You know, a failure to put away these things will lead to us suffering God's wrath. Will lead to us being a part of these sons of disobedience. Where he says that we need to put on the new man and then be renewed in knowledge, it seems to me that's a continuous thing, something that needs to be ongoing, something that we need to put as a priority in our lives, renewing our minds, renewing ourselves spiritually, growing closer to him. And truly that comes from listening and receiving the word that he has given to us. So we need to ask ourselves, am I listening to God so that I can bear good fruits, so that I can show that light which radiates from me, which is him? Am I listening to God so that I can understand what is wrong, what needs to be taken out of my life, and how am I acting on those things? Because again, listening is more than just hearing. It's understanding and it's applying. Also, we can understand that listening is essential to understand the blessings that we have before us. You know, as we just saw in Colossians 3, if we're renewed in knowledge, then our blessings will always be in front of us. David wrote in Psalms about how his sins were always before him. How can our blessings not always be before us as well? In 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 9, let's all turn there together, if you will. And in 1 Peter chapter 1, Peter says here, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance which is incorruptible and undefiled, that does not fade away, a place reserved in heaven for you." You know, just one of the many blessings that we have is this idea that Christ has given us an inheritance. He's giving us a place for eternity that we can spend in heaven with him. You know, if we don't spend time listening to God, then maybe that's not a big deal to us. But the more we understand who God is and the more we understand the blessings that he's put before us, I think the more we're going to appreciate that sentiment in and of itself. You know, and Scripture continues to go on and explain more of these blessings. And even in verse 8, you know, it says, "Whom having not seen you love, though now you do not see him, yet believing, you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls." And again, as we go to understand what it is that's given to us, we can rejoice in those things. We can be glad for those things. Those things can bring us happiness even in some of our darkest times, as long as we're listening and understanding what God has for us. You know, we can see in Romans 6:23, a very common passage, "The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life." In Psalm 23, Ellie's been wanting to talk about Psalm 23 quite a bit, and we have some very basic lessons there that we can learn, right? The Lord is my shepherd. Because of Him, we don't need to be in want. We don't need to be lacking anything. He has all that we need. He'll bring us peace. He'll deliver us through the valleys in life, and as a child of His, we'll be overflowing with blessings. But we have to listen, and we have to see what those are. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 and 6 is very similar to what we've read in 1 Peter. But let's go ahead and turn to Ephesians, because he builds on a few things in writing this letter to those in Ephesus. So as mentioned, verses 3 through 5 are very similar to what we see in 1 Peter. But continuing on, and starting in verse 7, he writes that in Him, or in Christ, we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of His grace, which He made abound toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known to us the mystery of His will, according to His good pleasure, which He purposed in Himself. You know, it talks about being rich in God's grace. It talks about how, again, we're forgiven of our sins. And as we just talk in Psalms 23, as sheep of His, He's gathered us together. We can be a part of this family in Him and through Him. And what a blessing that can be. You know, continuing on in Ephesians chapter 1, if we pick back up in verse 13, it says, "In Him you also trusted, after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee to our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession, to the praise of His glory. Therefore, I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, that He may give to you the spiritual wisdom and revelation and knowledge of Him, so that the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling and what are the riches of His glory, of His inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of His power toward us who believe according to the working of His mighty power." Paul continues on here, you know, stating how we can trust in God, we can trust in Jesus in verse 13. He will not let us down. Again, we're told of this promise that's given to us through Christ. And Paul writes to those how he's reminded of the blessing that is his brethren. He's reminded that they are a blessing to them, and he's writing to them, encouraging them, saying that he's grateful for them and he prays for them. He's reminded of the wisdom and understanding that they've received and that he's seen grow in them. And as we listen to God, as we listen to one another, we can see each other grow. We can see each other do great things. And those are things that we should all be thankful for. If we listen to God, our life can be full of joy. It doesn't mean we won't have trials. But what is our perspective on? What are we focusing on? Our lives can be full of purpose, and God will be with us. So what do we have to worry about? Continuing on, we can see that listening is required for our salvation. Still in Ephesians chapter 1, back in verse 13, "In Him you also trusted after you heard the words of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise." His word here is described as the word of truth, the word of righteousness, if you will. The gospel of your salvation, he calls it. We must hear it and live by it to build up our faith, to build up our trust in Him. And in doing so, we can receive this guarantee of our inheritance. In the real estate world, a guarantee is kind of like a down payment or collateral. Without a deposit, you know, in some regards, you can't purchase a home. Well, likewise, without that deposit that Christ paid, we cannot obtain that inheritance. Without that guarantee that He's provided, what do we have to stand before our God, the Creator of this world? We talked a lot in the book of Hebrews, and not spending too much time, but in Hebrews chapter 2, we can also see some things that will help us understand this concept where our listening is required for salvation. In chapter 2, beginning in verse 1, it says, "Therefore, we must give more earnest heed to the things we've heard, lest we drift away. For if the word spoken through angels proved to be steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just reward, how shall we escape if we neglect such great a salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed to us by those who heard Him?" You know, without God's word continuously in our heart, we will drift away. And one of the points that our brother made, Dave McClister made, as he was teaching us last week, is this isn't a maybe situation, right? Unless we drift away, if by chance we drift away, if we don't keep God's word close to us, we will drift away. If we don't keep God's word in our hearts, if we don't listen to the things that He says, if we don't tend that word and tend that seed that we talked about, then we will drift away. Anything less than that is neglect, and we can see the results of what happens if we neglect that. So I ask myself, do I listen to God, knowing that my salvation depends on it? You know, we've spoken a lot about the importance of listening, and again, there are so many other points and topics and thoughts that we could pull from Scripture in regards to listening to God. But there are also some warnings shared with us in Scripture should we decide not to listen. And, you know, we need to understand that there's a danger if we are a bad listener. You know, there's a danger of us being bad listeners. There's a quote here. It says, "Most people do not listen with the intent to understand, but with the intent to reply." This is a gentleman by the name of Stephen R. Covey. He's an author of a book called 7 Habits of Highly Effective People. I think some of us may be familiar with that series. But, you know, this quote really speaks a lot in and of itself. Most of the time we aren't really listening, right? We're just waiting till we can respond. And we have to be careful of that. Scripture warns us that, you know, if we aren't good listeners, then there are several results. You know, very common passage in 2 Timothy chapter 4, we see that there are those with itching ears. In 2 Peter chapter 3:16, we see that there are those who will twist the Scriptures. There are those who will use them for whatever purpose they may have. And these people are talked about as being unstable or untaught, uneducated. Maybe they're folks who aren't paying attention. Maybe they're folks who aren't listening the way that we should. And we have to be careful that we don't fall under that same category. And let's turn together in Matthew chapter 13, if you would. Because there are a couple other points in here that I think are interesting, maybe have a little bit more substance to them that is easy for us to look over. In Matthew chapter 13, beginning in verse 10, the disciples came and said to Jesus, "Why do you speak to the people in parables?" And he answered and said to them, "Because it has been given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been given. For whoever has, to him more will be given, and he will have abundance. But whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken away from him. Therefore I speak to them in parables, because seeing they do not see, and hearing they do not hear, nor do they understand. And in them the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled, which says, 'Hearing you will hear and shall not understand, and seeing you will see and not perceive. For the hearts of this people have grown dull. Their ears are hard of hearing, their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, lest they should understand with their hearts and turn, so that I should heal them.'" And Jesus goes on to commend his followers. He says, "Blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear, for they understand. For assuredly I say to you that many prophets and righteous men desired to see what you see, but did not see it, and to hear what you hear, but did not hear it." And Jesus is warning of the danger here. Many of these folks following him, he tells them they're dull of hearing. He describes them as being dull of hearing. And Jesus is referencing Isaiah chapter 6 in this passage. And the Hebrew word in Isaiah chapter 6 and verse 10, the word dull means to make fat or to be lazy, if you will. Likewise, in Matthew 13, this word translates to fatten, to thicken, or to become stupid, or to become without feeling. And, you know, he's telling them that, yeah, we may hear and we may grasp at the surface what's being said, but if we're being lazy with that, is it doing us any good? If we're becoming callous to that, is it doing us any good? If we're not taking heed, if we're not acting on the things that we hear, is it doing any good? And he's criticizing those because I think we all understand, no, it's not doing us good. And we're not using those things the way that we ought to. And finally, in Ephesians chapter 4, if you would turn with me, we'll look in Ephesians chapter 4. And this passage really builds on this interaction that Jesus has with his disciples. And in verse 17, Paul's writing to Ephesus, and he says, "This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk, in the futility of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God, because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lewdness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. But you have not so learned Christ." You know, these people being described here in Ephesians are, you know, they're told as their understanding has been darkened. Right? They've heard and they've understood and they've planted that seed, but over time that's grown dull, that's grown dark. They've not been spending the time enriching and renewing their minds and their spirit as they could be and as they should be. He says, don't be alienated or ignorant to Christ, and don't be blind in your hearts, but rather, you know, keep your eyes open and your ears open to hear and to understand that truth that comes from God and from Christ. So in conclusion, we need to be mindful of how we receive God's word. Listening is more than just hearing. Listening is more than just taking in sound and you know, reacting immediately to that, but it's really planting those things in our heart. You know, listening is really a part of this whole concept of growing that seed and growing that word within our own selves and showing it within our own lives. Let's not fall into the trap of becoming lazy in our understanding, of becoming dull to the changes that need to be made in our lives. You know, I hope that we can honestly evaluate ourselves, and I hope that we can challenge ourselves to, you know, actively become listeners, to become students if we've fallen away from that. You know, do we, when we hear God's word, when we hear something that maybe has some, requires some change in our life, do we react like those in Acts chapter 7 who were listening to Stephen? Do we plug up our ears and get angry and just block out everything that's being told to us? Or do we receive his word with gladness and sincerity? I like to end with this quote here. When you talk, you are only repeating what you know. And if you listen, you may learn something new. You know, let us stop telling God what we know. Let's stop telling everybody what we know. Yes, let's spread God's word, but let's do so with the intent of listening to the scripture, of listening to those that we're teaching, of teaching in a way that will help them to plant that word in their hearts. And in doing so, will teach us to grow closer to God and to build up that faith that we have and to build up ourselves as children of his. We always want to offer the invitation at any opportunity that there is. And it's interesting because the very first point that we often turn to is this idea of hearing in Romans 10:17. You know, faith comes by hearing, and that's hearing the word of God, understanding God's word. And that's the basis of it all. If we've not heard God's word, if we don't understand that which is being said, we're like the Ethiopian eunuch, right? We need somebody to teach us because we don't know what to do. We need that guidance in that direction. We need to understand that we have to believe and repent and turn away from the wicked deeds which we read about in Colossians chapter 3. That we need to confess that Christ is the Son of God and that he was raised from the dead. We need to be baptized into him, putting off an old man, putting on a new man, and living a life that bears the fruit that we need to be bearing. And that's all based upon how well are we listening. You know, and the last point is to live faithful. If there's somebody who's not a Christian, we know what we need to do to be saved. If you don't know what you need to do to be saved, if you don't know what Scripture says about salvation, talk to us. We'll be glad to study with you, teach you those things. If you are a Christian, this last part is probably the most challenging part, right? Once you become a Christian, things don't immediately become perfect. Things don't all become happy, and there are no trials because we know that Satan's waiting for us. He's trying to get us. He's trying to take us away from God so that we don't listen, so that we don't focus on him and on his message that he has for us and his plan for each of our lives. If you have any need this morning, we ask you to come forward as we stand and sing our invitation song.